Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Leonard, please begin call, and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific 2018 second quarter results announcement investor conference call. Before we proceed, I would like to note that during this conference call, there may be certain forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements may involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks which could cause actual results, performance and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the IR presentation related to our Q2 results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. W.K. Lee, CEO of ASM Pacific Technology, and Mr. Robin Ng, CFO of ASM Pacific Technology. We will start with a brief discussion about our 2018 second quarter results, followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand this over to Mr. W.K. Lee. Mr. Lee, please.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you are joining us for our 2018 second quarter investor conference call. I will first provide you with the summary of our second quarter results, followed by the Q&A section. We are very pleased to report that the group continued to set new records during the second quarter and for the first half of 2018. At the group level, both billings and bookings for the first half of this year hit new six-month records, while first quarter bookings and second quarter billings set new quarterly records. The group also set a new quarter record in operating profits during the second quarter of this year. Group revenue for the first 6 months of this year amounted to $1.23 billion, while group bookings for the first half of the year amounted to $1.48 billion US dollars. Group revenue and bookings for the last 12 months reached record levels, amounting to $2.42 billion US dollars and $2.55 billion US dollars respectively. Profitability of the group continued to improve in the second quarter of this year. The group achieved a gross margin of 43.2%, a new high since 2010. Group operating profits were at a new peak of 1.18 billion Hong Kong dollars, representing Q&Q growth of 70.1% and year-on-year growth of 35.5%. Band equipment segment achieved a gross margin of 50.8% and segment profit margin of 30.3%. During Q2 this year, the group received new order bookings of 727.7 billion US dollars, representing year-on-year growth of 10.1% and a reduction of only 3.5% from the peak level achieved in Q1 this year. Group bookings consecutively exceeded 700 million US dollars per quarter during the past two quarters. In particular, bookings of the SMT solution segment broke another new record in Q2. Bookings of the SMT solution segment amounted to 570.1 million US dollars for the past 6 months. During the first 6 months this year, the back-end equipment segment and the SMT solution segment were leading the growth. The semiconductor and the electronics market continue to be driven by broad-based growth drivers. Demand from the automotive and industrial electronic markets were particularly strong, leading to a robust growth in bookings for our IC and discrete back-end equipment and SMT solutions products. The LED market has recovered strongly from the second half of last year. LED general lighting, RGB displays, and mini LED backlighting remained the growth drivers. In the CIS market, demand for our active alignment equipment, particularly from the supply chain for Tier 2 smartphones, continued to be solid during the first 6 months of this year. We expect that healthy demand for active alignment equipment will be sustainable for many years. Front and rear side, 3D sensing, triple cameras, and folded cameras are some of the innovations that smartphone suppliers are implementing to differentiate themselves from their peers. Active alignment is one of the key enabling technologies for achieving these innovations. In the advanced packaging market, customers have recognized the ASMPT as the leader. With its diversified product portfolio, the group is involved in most of the advanced packaging development programs of its customers. As semiconductors are moving towards wafer-level technology of below 10 nanometer, we believe that the only viable interconnection technologies today are TCB and wafer or panel-level fan-out. Traditional future technology followed by mass revolt and wide bombing are no longer sufficient for meeting such challenging interconnection requirements. With reference to the SMT solution segment, strong demand from the automotive and industrial electronics market lifted our bookings of the segment, to a new high. The SMT solution segment achieved new booking records both the second quarter and the first half of this year. Whilst the European market has been strong, the group is also successfully gaining market share in the smartphone supply chain in China. With India's plan to leapfrog to global technology leadership by 2030, we are seeing growth opportunities, promising growth opportunities for our SMT solution segment in India. The group has further expanded its product portfolio and strengthened its technology leadership in the back-end equipment market. In April this year, the group completed its acquisition of the Germany-based leader in silicon photonics equipment, Amica Microelectronics GmbH. It has been successfully integrated into the group's optoelectronics business unit in the back-end equipment segment. As the world is entering the data-centric era, it's predicted that more hyperscale data center will be the silicon photonics is the key technology enabling high-speed data transfer within and between data centers. Some people believe that data is the new oil. Silicon photonics is the new key technology for developing the new pipes. Unless market conditions deteriorate drastically during the second half of this year, we expect 2018 to be a year of growth for the group compared with 2017. Specifically, we expect group revenue to set another new record. With a strong backlog on hand at $808.9 million, we anticipate good billings in Q3 to be in the range of $650 to $700 million, being a level, a similar level as Q2. The billings of our SMT solution segment are expected to achieve Q&Q improvement, whereas the billing of our back-end equipment segment may decline, may experience a small decline Q&Q from the peak that was achieved in Q2 this year. The billings of our mature segment are expected to be flat as compared with Q2. Due to our product and geographical mix, we expect that the gross margin of the group in Q3 may decline by about 1.5% to 3% from the level of Q2 this year. In terms of booking, we expect that group bookings in Q3 would be lower Q-on-Q due to typical seasonal effects. However, due to the uncertain global economic and political circumstances, it will be difficult to work out a reliable forecast. Demand for semiconductor devices and electronic systems have in fact remained healthy, but the trade frictions unfolding between the USA and other countries have resulted in significant uncertainties and concerns for the industry as a whole. Although the trade tariffs have not impacted our business so far, tariffs imposed by any countries will unavoidably hurt the spending power of consumers and ultimately may affect demand for our products. On a longer-term basis, we believe that we are entering an exciting era and a likely high growth period for SMPT. Unlike in the past decade, when the industry was primarily driven by smartphones, our industry now is driven by diversified growth drivers such as IoT, automotive, industrial electronics, smartphones, 5G communications, hyperscale data centers, data analytics, artificial intelligence, augmented virtual and mixed realities, smart cities and smart factories, just to name a few. With the acquisition that we have made and our continuous investment in R&D, we believe that SMPT is currently in an unparalleled position to capture the upcoming market opportunities. With this, we thank you for your attention in our results and announcement. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now poll for a question. If you would like to register for a question, please press *1 on your telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any question, please press *1. Thank you. First, we have Tina Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Good morning, management.
Okay,
thanks for taking my question. So my first question is about the income taxes because we see the tax rates increase in second quarter. Would you explain like for what reason that would cause the difference between historical or the past quarters? And what should we expect for this year? And this is the first question. And second is about the growth outlook in the second half. It's actually very positive from the guidance that the third quarter billings will be similar to second quarter. And but in terms of like going into the full pictures of this year, so if what we can expect into the fourth quarter is like a seasonal adjustment because the third quarter booking will be QOQ decline. But what do you see the overall this year will be still remain a very good momentum in terms of growth like advanced packaging or the automotive SMT, etc. And what's the third question is about the progress of this new business like advanced packaging in the panel level or wafer level fan mount as well as the TCB progress. Thank you.
Good morning, Tina. It's Robin. Let me address your text question first. Huh? So there are two effects in this particular quarter. One is a one-off effect, and the other is a timing effect. Now, the one-off effect is, if you can see in our accounts, we have made an under provision of tax in prior years of about $88 million. So that actually elevated the tax effect in Q2 and first half, of course. And there's a smaller timing event which will reverse itself in the coming quarters. So if you take off these two effects, you'll bring down the tax rate of Q2 from a high of 30 to around 21%. And for the first half, you'll bring down from 24 to around 17.5%. So I think we've been guiding that let's look at tax on a more longer term. So don't focus on the Q&Q. So first half is 17.5 after excluding these two effects. So I think it's about right. You know, this is the guidance that we have been dishing out in terms of tax.
Yeah, this is WK here. Well, in fact, if we take out those tax effects, net profit for the group during the Q2 this year is a new record for us. What we mentioned, I think those are a major part of this one-off. We do not expect it to be continued in the second half. The other part that will be automatically adjusted by itself in the coming quarters. Regarding your question on the growth outlook, looking at the industry itself, we are very positive. As I mentioned earlier, the industry has never been in such a good state that this time we see a very broad-based growth drivers. When the industry is driven by a very broad-based growth drivers, this kind of growth will be sustainable for some time. Okay. From that perspective, we are very positive about it. And furthermore, you can see we are not only, our results are not only good, driven by a particular segment, but all three segments achieving records. Although the SMT segment did not achieve beating records in the first half of this year, but it's purely a timing issue, with the very strong booking they achieved in the first half of this year, I would say we are almost sure. Beating performance for the SMT segment in the second half of the year will be pretty strong. So as a result, we are pretty confident to make a comment that unless we suddenly see a very significant deterioration of the market and economic situation, otherwise we believe 2018 will be another growth year for the group compared to 2017. And at a good level, we expect to be setting another new record. And when the group set another new record in billing, likely all the segments will also set new billing record on a full year basis. Because how we see today, assuming, as I mentioned, the macroeconomic and political situation will not deteriorate significantly. However, when we're looking at the booking momentum for the second half, we admit that I think we see a lot of uncertainty. So far, we are not being affected in any material way by the trade war. But on the other hand, we get a feeling that our customer also feel there's a lot of uncertainty going forward. So with uncertainty, will that affect the investment confidence? Is really a question mark for every one of us. So that's why we remain cautious in this area. But I will say, other than this, the industry is very healthy. So regarding your question, how does it look like in Q4? We don't know. It will a few months later when we share with you the Q4 booking, then we will be more easy to tell. So Q3 billing should be a problem with the strong backlog. At this moment, we do not foresee, I would say, the booking, our booking in Q3 will be falling off the cliff. We don't foresee that. But how strong it will be, how big will be the correction, will this decline be more than the typical seasonal event? We are not able to answer the question at this point in time. Regarding your question of advanced packaging, we are making very good progress. Okay, for the TSV, we are recognizing or accepting by many more customers. The customers are really recognizing ASMPT as the leader in this TCB. And as I mentioned earlier, as the wafer look become finer and finer, and also this heterogeneous integration, you know, are coming. So this becoming the industry become, I would say, forming a common consensus that TCB and wafer or panel level fan out will be the solution, you know, for this kind of very demanding interconnection technology. And ASMPT have been recognized as the leader in this area. So in the announcement, I have provided a bit more color in all those. However, TCB, while we are being accepted by more customers, we expect some of these customers will only reach a volume production sometime next year. Okay, and in the panel level fan out, we see customers are still, you know, at their early ramp up phase. So we do not have a very significant revenue contribution from this customer yet in 2018, but the momentum has been very good for us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Mr. Alpha Lai from Citigroup. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, WK and Robin. This is Arthur Lai. First of all, congrats, high gross margin. So I want to dig in more on the this gross margin up 2-3 bps this quarter. Can you share us what's the driver? Is it because the mix or because the automation? So that's my first question. And also follow up the question, you also guide next quarter gross margin to be down, you know, to maybe 1.5%. Also, what's the driver for this margin volatility? Thank you.
Okay. For the Q2 gross margin, mainly I will say volume effect and also product mix are the main effect. And also, our factories, our operations are running at a very high efficiency. I would say a combination of this volume effect, product mix effect, and the high efficiency drive the this cost margin to a high level. Whereas for the guidance for the cost margin decline in Q3, it's a product and geographical mix, nothing structural. On an individual product basis, we do not see any reason the cost margin will come down. As we shared earlier, we expect revenue from the back-end equipment will come down in Q3 on a Q-on-Q basis, whereas revenue for the back SMD equipment will continue to go up in Q3. So as you see, back-end equipment enjoying a gross margin of 50.8% in Q2, whereas this SMT is on the low 40s. So there's this segment business mix already. For the SMT business, we also expect in Q3 there will be more shipment or more revenue recognition from customers in Asia, including China and India, so and also Southeast Asia. So these are also compared to billings recognized from in Europe. So these are typically a lower margin. So this product and geographical mix are the reason for we guiding a lower gross margin by 1.5 to 3%.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Donnie from Nomura. Thank you.
My first question is regarding to backend equipment. So if we break down into IC discrete, LED, and CIS businesses, what's the booking momentum in second quarter and third quarter in terms of the direction? Thanks.
Okay. For the booking momentum for the band equipment in the second quarter, IC discrete is very strong, continue to be very strong, followed by CIS. CIS booking momentum also very strong in Q2. If you compare our CIS booking with the same period last year, we have a very strong start in 2017 at the beginning of the year. This year is a little bit slower, but the second quarter catch back significantly, you know. So overall, we see good momentum in the CIS. LED, then followed by LED. Actually, LED also very strong compared to especially the second quarter, second half of last year. So overall, the booking momentum for all the three businesses are very strong. Although it did come down Q-on-Q, but we have to bear in mind we actually made a booking of more than $400 million for back-end equipment in Q1. So we can't expect to continue to beat this $400 million. So actually, this $300 over million in the second quarter is a very strong booking momentum for back-end equipment itself.
Thank you. How about the rough idea about third quarter in terms of IC discrete, CIS, and LED businesses?
Okay. Typically, CIS will start to book in terms of booking will start to slow down in the second half. So this is more of a seasonal pattern. So CIS customers tend to place their orders in the first three quarters of the year, and in particular in the first two quarters. So however, billing-wise, third quarter will be continue to be a strong billing quarter for CIS. We do expect the momentum for IC discrete to continue in the third quarter. It may come down from the absolute level, also due to the seasonal effect. Typically, our booking will peak at Q2, and then billing will peak at Q3 for this back-end equipment. So this is a typical seasonal pattern. So we do expect IC discrete to maintain a strong momentum, but probably will come down Q on Q. LED will show a similar pattern. So typical LED customer will buy more strongly in the first half of the year and start to slow down a little bit in the second half of the year. This also, I would say, we monitor for the past few years the typical pattern of the industry. So as I mentioned today, when we are guiding the Q3 booking to come down, we are not expecting, or we are not factoring into the global economic situation yet, because we are not able to make any meaningful, you know, forecast from that. So we are more of looking at the typical seasonal pattern, and also judging from the current business momentum of the customer. So we see on a seasonal pattern point of view, it will come down.
Sorry, I have a follow-up question on booking. So according to the previous seasonality, most of the time that the booking will start to recover in fourth quarter, and normally bottom at the third quarter. So if there is no further impact from trading war, can we expect that the booking will recover in fourth quarter this year?
be a fourth quarter compared to Q3, typically will be very similar, either a small uptick, okay, as you say, bounce back, or hold back to a very similar level or small decline. So typically, the major decline is from Q2 to Q3. Q3 to Q4 will be very small variation, but difficult to guarantee. It will definitely will be higher than Q3. And then we will start to see Q1 will be a more obvious a pickup for the booking, because customer have a new CapEx budget in the beginning of the year. So this is a more typical pattern.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Li Peng Huang from CICC. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my question. So I have two questions. So number one is that we see a very quick capacity expansion of the LED in China in the first half of this year. Do you see this momentum continue or any slowdown? We see upstream actually capacity expand very quickly. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I would say typically customers still have to take a break to digest the capacity. So this has been happening for the past few years. They in quarters they will be aggressively taking the equipment to expand their capacity. They take another one or two quarters to stabilize their production. So we expect this kind of pattern will continue. But overall, we are very positive about the growth momentum of the LED business. We see the demand continue to be strong.
Yeah, okay. The second question is about trade war. So there are two hypotheses in the investor community. So about when the uncertainty comes. So number one is that if the trade war increase or the tariff or the tax increase, the vendors or the company need to double the capacity. For example, one is in Mexico and one is in China. But the second hypothesis is that the company or the manufacturers just stop the purchasing the equipment or the wait for the clarity of the new policies. What do you think when you engage with your customers, and what do you prefer currently? Are they double the capacity, or they are just wait for the first clarity?
Well, I think difficult to predict. But when we talk to customer, I would say the sentiments like this. Every one of us have some uncertainty, you know, about what will happen, what will develop. So this uncertainty could be a problem. Really depends on how the trade war develop. It may suddenly, if the trade war go to such a disaster, you know, affecting business activities, and then customer have to slow down significantly their investment project. That may affect the industry, but that will be the very, very worst scenario. However, on a slightly longer term, we do expect equipment vendor like us will benefit. Although it may not be something we like to see, because we start to hear customer actually talking about building their capacity outside China. We do hear customers start to voice out this idea. We don't see any solid action yet, okay? But there seems to be many people talking about this point, and we also believe this will make sense in our opinion, not only for customers in China, but also foreign investors having their factories in China. They may also start to think about where should be their next factory. So I would say, you know, after this uncertain period, it may lead to a very strong demand for capacity equipment, you know, so a company like SMPD may benefit from it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Sean Lewis from Haitong. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. First, I'd just like to clarify one thing, please, quickly. When you say advanced packaging tools, is that for 10 nm and below, or below 10 nm?
Below 10 nm.
Okay. So in that case, therefore, let me ask you this question. When we're looking at because volume for below 10 is really starting from next year, proper volume. So let me ask you this question. What would mean significant contribution from advanced packaging from your perspective relative to your business? And when that happens, considering that these tools are quite different to our core business in terms of lead time, in terms of price, in terms of even R&D investment, things like this, as this ramps up for us, how might that change our even business model or our capital structure, or what kind of material impact might that have on our capital structure of the business? Thank you.
Well, I would say it's a little bit difficult for me to answer the question on when, you know, we expect this to be having a meaningful contribution to our business, because it really depends on our customers' progress, how ready they are in terms of ramping up, you know, the 7-nanometer, 5-nanometer, kind of applications. Earlier on, when I answered your question, I also further clarify it. Different customers, they may refer to different numbers. For example, some customers, they are 10 nanometer actually equivalent to another customer 7 nanometer. So we also have to be careful about that. But if we use this Taiwanese foundry's number as the reference in the market, then I would say the 7 nanometer volume production probably will still be sometime, you know, some people expecting next year. So when this will start to take off, you know, either in 2020, I think it will change the packaging landscape, because it seems to be, as I mentioned earlier, the common consensus that you can't do typical Y bonding or traditional flip chip bonding, then you have to migrate to the new technology. So hopefully, as I mentioned, 2019, 2020 will be a tipping point for the industry.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Christian from BOCOM. Thank you.
Oh, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. The first question has to do with the SMT business. I was wondering if you can give me some more color on the near-term momentum for the European auto industrial electronics demand, and also more color on what is driving the share gain in the China smartphone segment. Thank you.
I think in the automotive, European automotive market, of course, there are also uncertainty relating to trade war. As we read from the news, the U.S. threatened to impose, you know, a tariff on European cars imported from Europe. Although this has not been materialized yet, but if this really materialized, it may affect customers' investment, you know, sentiment, you know, in here, in the auto mobile market in Europe. However, overall car demand will not come down, so this kind of capacity may be supplemented by other regions. However, as of this moment, we do not see our automotive customers are responding to that yet. So that's why we still see strong momentum for the SMD business at this point in time. Of course, typically Q3 is a vacation season in Europe, so we do not expect a lot of new order intake from European market during this period. This is a typical seasonal pattern. Industrial electronics will be very strong, you know, other than the seasonal pattern. We see a lot more new ideas building around this industrial IoT, IoT, you know, smart factory, smart city. So we see a lot of momentum over there. So this will, in our opinion, will continue. So as I mentioned, we see second half billing for SMT should be strong due to the shipment we have made in the first half as well as the booking momentum. Typically, SMT will lag behind the semiconductor by one quarter. So as we still have a very strong booking for semiconductor in Q2, so I would say the booking for SMT in Q3 shouldn't be too bad. So more of timing effect. Q4, difficult to predict at this point with all this uncertainty.
Hi, my second question is a follow-up question on the advanced packaging. It sounds like maybe in the mid to long term, it will be a strong growth driver for the industry. But for your company, I was wondering if you can give us more color on whether this new growth will help you drive your product mix improvement, whether this will lead to another gross margin driver for the long term.
It was certainly, if we take off in a big way that we have been expecting, I think it would certainly help us to change the product mix. Because typically advanced packaging equipment are high price equipment, we are selling technology, so in general also a better cost margin. The delta is not really that big. I'm talking about a very significant gross margin difference because overall we are already achieving the 50.8% gross margin in Q2 this year. So you can see there will be some room for further improvement, but not a very big room. In terms of this advanced packaging, once it takes off, I think the other good point will be the number of players are less. When ASMPG clearly establishes its leadership position in the market, so it helps to really deter or fend off the competition at least for a period of time, you know. So and sometimes it's also the cost of switching supplier for the customer also high. So this first mover advantage in this kind of technology-driven application will be very important. So so that's why we are quite satisfied with our momentum at this point in time. Although from a revenue contribution point of view, still small, but we are happy with the engagement level with our customer. So as we mentioned, we are almost in all the program, you know, customer having for the advanced packaging. So this is the encouraging part.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kevin Zhang from JP Morgan. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, management. Thanks for taking my question. I have a quick question on backlog and billing. So 2Q backlog is above 800 million, while the guided billing in 3Q is 675 at midpoint. So the billing to backlog ratio is below average level. So my question is, have you seen any order delay, or it's due to the longer lead time?
Well, we don't see any order delay. Partly due to order lead time, we can't deliver 800 million in a quarter, but also partly due to the nature of revenue recognition for SMT business. SMT business, there's a time gap between shipment and this revenue recognition. So so that's why when you see the backlog, many of those equipment could be shipped in Q3, but revenue recognition could only take place in Q4.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tina Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thanks. I have a follow-up question. It's about the SMT. So you mentioned you will see a record high for all segments this year in terms of revenue. So should we expect that SMT business is not likely? It's not likely to decline or have some correction that you expected from early this year. And this is the first question. The second is also related to SMT. It's about the utilizations of the Malaysia fab for the SMT business. Because right now you see more orders, especially is from Asia, and that you can leverage the Malaysia fab. And how much of SMT you can ship from Malaysia fab this year?
versus your expectation? And the third is about the in-house sourcing and also the outsourcing strategy. So what is the progress now? How much you could achieve for the outsourcing ratios? Thanks.
Okay, let me answer your first question first, the SMT. On a full year basis, we definitely expect SMT is another record year for us. In fact, for the last 12 months, SMT revenue was at the level of one, just slightly below $950 million. So I would say on a full year basis, it will be around this level, plus or minus, you know. Bear in mind, second half of last year was a very strong 6 months period. Actually, it was a record, you know, for the segment. So we expect our SMT business really approaching the $1 billion mark, you know, very close to it. For Malaysia, yes, we are expanding it, and actually, the Malaysia plan has been instrumental for the growth of SMT business for the past 1.5 years. Certainly, without the Malaysia plan, we won't be able to achieve this kind of revenue growth for the SMT business. And also, when they compare to the revenue growth we have achieved for this business so far, and actually there have not been a very significant I would say headcount increase in our European factories. Actually, we stay very tight in terms of controlling the headcount over there. We do supplement our production capacity by acting contractors in Europe, but the majority of the growth actually is really supported by the Malaysian part. However, the Malaysia is still taking, I would say, contributing less than 50% of the output as of end of last year. So we expect by the end of this year, when the new building ready, so we will start to ramp up the Malaysian factory further for the SMT. So we almost tripling the space we allocate to the SMT business in Malaysia. So you can expect by 2019, 2020, there will be a significant output increase for the SMT business from Malaysia when the space are ready. I believe the active alignment technology will remain the key technology for the industry for many years ago.
Yeah, thank you, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. And a following next question comes from Donnie Tang from Nomura. Thank you.
Thank you, management, for taking my question again. So follow the CIS question. As the sales base is quite high this year, and I think some of your customers are quite aggressively buying the CIS equipment. But for next year, according to my understanding, is that if your customers would want to if your customers would want to do 3D sensing products, they must need to buy new AA equipment. However, if they go for Tri-Cam, they probably can reuse some equipment from Dual-Cam. So I just wondering if you could give us some estimate about what would the sales momentum for CIS next year. Is that really sustainable and can really grow for years, or it could be still some cyclical pressure? Thank you.
Well, your comment is accurate. If the customer go to 3D sensing, they have to really buy new set of equipment. If they go for Tri-Cam, they can use back some of the capacity they installed. However, Tri-Cam means, you know, three cameras in that too. So whether do they need to increase the capacity to build three cameras, that's also will be part of the drivers. However, looking at the 3D sensing, yes, I think customers today are still facing challenges to produce this 3D sensing camera. So the introduction of 3D sensing camera for Android phones actually has been delayed, you know. So, however, you're looking at so far the application of the 3D sensing in the market is for facial recognition only. So, for purely for facial recognition, you can have alternative technology to replace it. You don't necessarily must use a 3D sensing. However, as I have pointed out many times in the past, and also many industry analysts has pointed out, the real big opportunities for 3D sensing is the rear sensing, 3D sensing. You know, with the rear face 3D sensing, then the smartphone will enter into really augmented reality and the mixed reality, you know, applications. And that is the real, the big application for the industry. So in my opinion, while 3D sensing for facial recognition, strictly speaking, could be optional for some phone makers, but in order for them to migrate to this rear side 3D sensing, I think they have to go through the front side 3D sensing as the intermediate step to master the technology. So that's why we remain to be very optimistic about 3D sensing. We think it will be a big driver for our CIS business. There may be some delay by a few months or a few quarters, but the technology will finally get mature and people master technology and go into a big way of implementing it.
Thank you. And regarding to SMT business, you also deliver very strong sales momentum, particularly after the major smartphone OEM company's big order last year. So, can you elaborate more on what would be the SMT business looks like next year? Would automotive or some other non-smartphone applications can still support SMT business grow further next year?
We are optimistic at this point in time, okay? Because SMT, when we move to the SMT market, actually a good early indicator will be the semiconductor market. When more chips being produced, then these chips have to be replaced by SMT equipment onto a motherboard, a substrate. So that's why from that perspective, I would say we are pretty optimistic about this industry. And also, probably many of you are aware of the shortage of MLCC in the market. And well, people, I ask our customers why there's such a shortage of MLCC, and they seem to be quoting two examples to explain to me. One is when it goes to 5G phone, the number of MLCC will increase significantly. And actually, in other areas, when it comes to electric car, the number of MLCC is really huge. Now, every single MLCC, you still need the SMT equipment to put it onto the motherboard. So, basically, the placement content has increased significantly with all these automotive, industrial electronics, you know, and we believe either, when the 5G come on board, you know, in 2019, 2020, these all will be drivers for additional semiconductors as well as SMT equipment.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lu Ping Huang from CICC. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you to take my follow-up questions. Two questions. One is that a lot of investors are expecting your China sales should be much stronger because of so many foundry under construction, so many capacity are supposed to add in China, and some statistics even say that the 40% of the new foundry under construction are in China. But it still seems to be when we should able to expect the China sales to accelerate. Yeah. This is the first question. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Now, I think it really depends on when the factories will be ready. So typically, people don't need to buy the back-end equipment so soon. They will wait for the factories to ready and also wait for the factories to ramp up. We believe it will take some time for this to happen, probably based on the public information available. You know, the factories should be... the construction should be ready in probably the next 2 to 3 years. Most of the foundries will be, the construction will be completed, and then they will still have to go through the tooling up of the foundries, and in particularly ramping up the production. So it will take time, but you are absolutely right. With all those foundries complete and fully ramped up, well, we are expecting a lot more this assembly and packaging capacity has to be installed in China. So that's why earlier on I comment, you know, we don't see any reason why customer want to move out, you know, the capacity from China to overseas. They will continue to invest in China, further expand, but at the same time, they will also be expanding outside China.
Okay. The second question is about the cryptocurrency. So do you see, because we see a lot of negative news these days, do you see your customer have excess capacity on this crypto-related equipment, or whether this is transferable to other applications for the, because we see a very sharp decline on the crypto these days. Yeah.
Well, this is actually, it was expected, you know. I think in one of the conference call earlier, I already shared with investors how our customer react to this cryptocurrency RAM, you know. So customer actually were skeptical. So they for the back-end equipment sector, so they basically try to use the existing capacity as much as possible. So they only buy with minimal capacity, you know, for this application. So at this point of time, we don't really see a lot of customer or too much capacity being idle due to this decline of this demand for cryptocurrency chips. So I think the industry is healthy in that, because people expect this sooner or later will happen. So people did not over-invest in this area.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any question, please press star 1 on your telephone touchpad. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any question, please press star 1. Thank you. Leonard, there seems to be no further question at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. I think we've had a very good discussion this morning with very good questions, but I'm afraid we have to conclude the conference call now in the interest of time. Thank you very much for joining our conference call today, and we will talk to you again next time. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference. Thank you.